Welcome to But Why Though, the podcast, a roundtable conversation around all things pop culture. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined this week by Kate.
Hi.
And only Kate. It's just the two of us. And this week we're talking about a lot of stuff. We're talking about Labubu. We're talking about orange iPhones, talking about tying an onion to your belt when it's the style at the time. This is a kind of a conversation on the concept of cool and taste and how those things work and interact with like present day culture and what to do like when things just aren't for you. It's a topic we've touched on here before.
I also think, and this may be tangential, is when things come back from when you were a kid and mean something entirely different now.
Yes, definitely. But before we get into all that, Kate, is there anything that has had your eyes, your ears, your brain this week?
Ooh, I mean, outside of football, if you listen to her, it's football season, y'all.
Brained are you at this point?
Yeah, I'm very football brained. It is 11 a.m. to probably 2 a.m. every Saturday, watching all the games. You have Red Zone going right now because recording this on a Sunday, and I will go right back into my football hole once I'm done recording. I am deeply football brained. But outside of that, I think it's hard because I haven't really been playing too much stuff. But, dude, my brain is all football, actually.
It's all football.
It's all football. Like, because I'm reviewing stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, it's almost like I am reviewing stuff when I could be watching football, and I don't want to do that. But I am, because I have to.
That's fair. Have we talked about who your teams are on this show yet?
I don't know if we have. So I graduated from the University of Texas. So we did my first alumni tailgate yesterday as of this recording. And then my NFL teams my NFL team was decided by the coach I thought was the hottest. So I'm a Detroit Lions fan, which is a bad thing to be at all times, including right now, because they suck shit. But I would say, like, after spending last year really watching teams play and then going down, like, I feel like a dad. Like, I'm in my dad watch era where, like, I'm just watching sports documentaries because we got access to all the ESPN ones and Hard Knocks, which is a series on HBO. So all this is to say, my informed opinion is that I love the scrappy Buffalo Bills. And that would be like the people I chose, Dan Campbell, because he's a mighty, mighty large man who cries all the time. And that's just sexy. And now the Buffalo Bills, because Josh Allen's a hell of a quarterback. So those are my teams.
Perfect. I had the misfortune of growing up in the Pacific Northwest and having my teams be defined by who's the home team, which means that I was Mariners, Seahawks, Sonics. there was like one or two seasons in the 90s where it was fun to be a Mariners fan, and then there have been a lot of bad seasons since. And then the Sonics, you know, they were never great, never terrible. Like, it, you know, they were there. Seahawks, I mean it was fun to be like, I was in high school,
went to a game together.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, and I was in high school when they started picking up steam in the mid-2000s, and that was really fun. But yeah, just I recognize that I don't necessarily always root for winners when it comes to sports. My hockey team was the Vancouver Canucks for a little bit until Seattle got a hockey team.
I think the thing that sucks is UT was good at a time. And then when I went to college there, it was right after a national championship run. And we still have not made it back.
Oh no.
We made it into the playoffs last year, which was good. But like, no, my dad literally blames me for the detriment of his favorite football team. But I grew up in San Antonio. When you're born in San Antonio, like, you are a San Antonio Spurs fan. Like, that, like, little Spurs are our team. There is nothing there. They are them and we are they are us and we are them. But I grew up during their dynasty era, Tim Duncan, David Robinson. So like I played basketball in school because of the Spurs, and now they're absolutely terrible. And Pop is literally on his deathbed, and I don't know what's going to happen to us. So I would say, Alex, choosing bad teams consistently or just having them be there, like, you're never going to be let down. But once seen greatness, and now you're having nothing but pain.
Yes.
That sucks.
That's true. Have you heard about the Etsy witch? yet.
I have heard about the Etsy witches doing a lot of work.
Yeah, that apparently the Mariners, somebody paid an Etsy witch to fix the Mariners season, and they have gone 5-0 since that witch got paid.
There is mounting evidence that Etsy witches are right? real.
Yeah, it, like this person just posted online. They were just like, they're like, screw it, I'm paying a witch to fix this. And then this they amazing. Actually turned it around after that. So I'm like, you know what? Whatever. Like, I'm going to say that the witch did their job. For me, I have two things. One of them, don't be mad, it's a Ninja Turtles thing, but it's worth bringing up.
It's always a Ninja Turtles thing.
Well, so here's the thing. Right now, I'm going back to some of my blind spots, which is the Archie comics run from the early 90s, where it was like way more based on the cartoon. And what I wanted to bring up about this, because at first when it came up, I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. But I'm now a third of the way through the run, and it's been a recurring theme that it was like heavily, heavily focused on environmentalism. And on climate change specifically, like there's an issue where, long story, this like interdimensional being is like, oh, let me drop you off back on Earth. And he drops him off and it's like New York is half underwater. And they're like, hey, I don't think this is Earth. And he's like, oh, sorry, no, we're in the future. This is what's going to happen if you don't fix things. Like if you don't fix climate change, and then takes them back to the 90s. But that theme and that, like there's a whole issue on like, fishing practices and how it damages wildlife when it's done irresponsibly, like all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, this is like, you clearly had like an agenda that you wanted to talk about with like environmentalism, with climate change and all this stuff. And like in a package for kids that kids can wrap their heads around.
Well, I mean, like technically, don't the Ninja Turtles get made because somebody illegally drops or like dumps ooze?
It's that it falls off a truck, but yeah, it is like,
okay.
Yeah, it is like the idea of, you know, toxic, whatever, but, yeah, there's like, and I'm also coming up on where they bring, Slash in, who, to my understanding, he's an alien who looks like a turtle, but he's an alien who his home planet is destroyed basically by capitalism. Like it is destroyed for its resources to build resorts and stuff. And so his vendetta is against the rich and powerful, and it's purely based on environmentalism. I'm like, you know what? That kind of rules. Like, I'm here for it.
I'm with this.
My thing that's not Ninja Turtles, my local record shop, Music Millennium, was doing a sidewalk sale, $10 boxes of records, you know, or $10 a record, but like just boxes and boxes of stuff. And I found two artists. One is Vagabond, which is the stage name for Letitia Tomko. She's a Cameroonian American singer. It's just really good, like indie electro pop. Very fun music. And then the other one is Eerie Wanda, which I'm not gonna lie, I picked up that record because the name Eerie Wanda for a band is ridiculous, and I was like, I gotta know more. And that's like very like jazzy indie pop whatever, but it's very good. So yeah, Eerie Wanda and Vagabond, that's no D at the end. Definitely worth checking out. But yeah, that's what's been on my radar lately. Oh, and then also, Kate, did you, this is going to sidetrack us. Did you watch The Old Guard 2? Because I finally got around to it.
I did not, because I read our writer's review of it, and I really loved the first one. And I was like, I don't want pain.
It really is frustrating, because as I was watching it, I was like, they're not going to wrap this up in time, which means we're getting a third movie. But the resolution that they've set up would only take like another half hour of this movie. So there's no reason this couldn't be two movies other than that you want to make a third movie. But the second one just isn't great, which worries me that Netflix isn't even going to bother with the third. And then we're just going to have a good movie and a bad movie. And that's it.
Well, and that's like the thing that they do is that you really can't take a shot to make a bad sequel Netflix movie, because Netflix will just not renew you. They will just not give you another one. They can do that.
Exactly. We finished the movie and my wife was just like, I would not have watched this if I knew that it was going to end on a cliffhanger leading up to a third, because it already took 5 years to get the second one.
Oh, God, it was that. I thought, oh, wow, that's longer than I thought.
Yeah, it took a while to get the second one. There's no promise of a third one, as far as I know. Maybe they signed the paperwork for it. But yeah, it just wasn't a great thing. Didn't want to talk about it as a hey, here's a cool thing that I did this week. I just was curious if you'd seen it. But
hey, here's a bummer thing that happened to me. I watched The Old Guard 2, and I don't know why we did this.
Exactly. That was exactly how we felt when it was over. It was like, what the hell was the point of watching this? Like, And we had had to watch the first one because we barely remembered what happened in it. We just knew that we liked it. So we went back, watched the first one. It was great. Put on the second one and we're like, oh, this is not as good. But yeah. Okay. So thank you for talking football with me and for sharing about your teams. Where can people find you online?
You can find me at OMMythRandier on Twitter and not Twitter. I'm barely on Twitter anymore. You can find me mostly over at Blue Sky, and you can find me on Instagram where I am posting a lot of my travel stuff. You'll get to see pictures of my Labubu, which we're going to talk about today, doing a bunch of different things because that's a lot easier sometimes than just taking a picture of myself.
That's fair. Yeah. And you can find me on Blue Sky at Most Always Alex. So yeah, with that, I guess let's get into it. I put a quote in the notes here from The Simpsons that I'm sure you recognize, which is just, I used to be with it and then they changed what it was. And now what I'm with isn't it. And what's it seems weird and scary to me. And it'll happen to you. Which this quote has like lived in my head since I ever heard it. Because it's such a good fitting description of how trends work. Where it's like, I know that I'm not with it anymore, but I used to be. Like, what changed is what it is. So why are we talking about this? And I feel like the easiest first answer is Labubu. Like, this is a very pop culture broad conversation. We're not talking about a specific thing. I will say, I know you have one of these.
I do.
I've looked at them, and I understand like the appeal of like it's a fun thing to do with people, but it doesn't click for me. So what is it for you that you're like, this is, I'm on board with it?
So it's twofold. And the first thing is that I have always loved bag charms, and I'm not talking about like a small, cute little bag charm. I am talking Labubu size, big plushie I put on a bag or a backpack and I carry it with me. I've always loved them. But that has not been acceptable for people of a certain age and in general in US culture. Like, that's just, don't put bag charms on stuff. We will put keychains, but the keychain has to be a certain size, all this stuff. We think they're obnoxious. But me, a girl raised by anime, loved bag charms because you see them all over in Japan. I saw it in my manga. I saw it in my anime. It's still in my webtoons. And when the Labubus happened, it was one of those where, because the actual trend had, like, the Labubus have been around since like 2015, I think. Mm-hmm. But Lisa, who is a musical artist originally from the K-pop band or the K-pop group Blackpink, she was in love with Labubus. And so she had a Labubu, and then all the Blinks, which are Blackpink's fan base, had to have Labubus, and then thus the spiral.
Okay, began. I didn't realize that they were kind of the ones that kicked it off.
They were. And when that happened, there's like a natural inclination to blind box things, and Labubus are all blind box toys. Yep. You don't know what color you're going to get, so it becomes a hunt, which automatically gamifies it. And I think they're kind of akin to Beanie Babies, but the difference is our Labubus go out. You put them on your bag. You put them on your purse. Mm-hmm. You put them on your backpack.
They get to see the world.
Exactly. And I think when Pop Mart has talked about them specifically, they are not making Labubus for children. They are actively making all of their blind box items are of a higher price, and they are made for people in our age demographic. They're looking between 20 and 40 year olds. Not always women, because there are different types of blind boxes that you can get, but that is who they're looking for. They are looking at those collectors, which I think is really interesting, because when you see Labubus, you think of a kid. But this was always targeted to older people. There is not really a life where it's not with the prices that they are.
Yep.
And then
I only know two children that have them.
Yeah, they're expensive. Now you can go get your kid a Lafufu, which is a fake one, and they have their own fan base. So that's like the first thing. Like, that's how they came in. And so it was appealing for me because I had this current trend in culture that was finally allowing me to take out, you know, my bag charms. I have a Kuromi that I put on stuff as well, and a Fukuoka one that I have. And I've traveled with them, and I've always had them, but now it's just acceptable to have them out. And then for me, Labubus, I just think they're ridiculously stupid looking. And I think that's adorable. Like, I think that that's adorable. And I love the color pink, and I love the color purple. And I have a pink one. So when I bought mine, I asked my friend who was at Anime Expo to buy me one. They bought me one, and I was like, this is going to be it. I'm not going to blind box it. And it ended up being the pink one.
Nice. Is there a better high, though, than getting the right blind box the first try?
No, there isn't. And that's why people keep going. And I had to objectively be like, this shit's $60. I'm not going to keep going. Yeah.
There's a couple boba shops in Portland that have like, they have them on sale and they have signs up like authentic Pop Mart, like, you know, sourced, like
if they're under $20, they are still LaFoufous.
Oh, they're not. They're like, okay, it's the real deal. Okay. Like it's, hell yeah.
Alex, I may be calling you to get me a second LaFoufous.
But yeah, I was like, oh, and here's the thing. The most tempted I've been to get one is standing, waiting for my order at a boba shop and seeing it and being like, well, I could just get it here and now because I don't know how else to track down the real deal and like know that it's, you know, that the supply chain was vetted and that it isn't a fake. It's just being sold to me at a markup. But then I was like, ultimately, I don't know that I would actually use it. I would just have it. It would just be in the house somewhere because I, you know, don't really have the bag that I do have when I need one going out is about the size of a Labubu. Like it holds like my wallet and my headphones. And so attaching one to that would be insane.
So I have a very small crossbody that I still, it is about the length, like the height of a Labubu. It's bigger, but it's about the height of a Labubu.
But you still strap it on there?
I still strap it on there. Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay. So yeah, so we talked about Labubu. We talked about, I don't know if you saw any of the coverage for Apple's event last week where they debuted their new phones and one of them was orange, which is my favorite color.
I was going to say, this is going to be where you're going to have to talk because I do not understand totally. Apple. So, I do not buy Apple.
Fair. So Apple, traditionally, there's been the iPhone and then the iPhone Pro, and the Pro is like the matured, you know, it's more expensive, it's nicer. And so they've always done like, quote, luxury colors, like black, tan, silver, gold, like very like boring adult grown-up colors. And this year they introduced the iPhone Air, which is like the slim, we're going to pitch it as like a luxury device, yada, 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 which means that now the Pro is for creative people. So it now, instead of coming in white, black, whatever, it comes in white, navy blue, and orange. I'm a huge fan of orange. It's my favorite color, has been forever. Like, I love orange. Went online, the number of people that I saw that were just like, this phone is ugly, nobody wants this. And I was like, no, I want this. Like, the people who were paying attention to Apple's releasing new phones, like, immediately split down the middle on whether or not any of these colors were worth anything. Yeah. Because my initial concern, because I had heard, oh, they might do an orange one this year, is like, Apple does a bad job with colors. They usually do like more washed out pastel, you know, whatever. And I was like, a washed out orange to me is like, it's not a great color. I wouldn't want that for a phone. And then this one was like, oh no, that's an orange phone.
Yeah. So the funny thing is this is burnt orange. Like this is the color of like the Texas Longhorns.
Yeah. And it's a cool color. Orange. But yeah, but people hate it. A lot of people hated it. And I was like, this is slander against a great color. Those two things this week, kind of, I was like, we should talk about this broad appeal and talk about the idea of like taste and what's for everyone. And then also this week I got maybe what is, it works for me. It's the least desirable computer mouse I've ever seen. It's left-handed and it's a trackball mouse. So you use your thumb on a ball and it's sculpted for you to hold in your left hand. I'm left-handed. This is great for me. I really like it, but I'm like, nobody wants this. This is the epitome of this is not for everyone. Is that this is useless to 99% of people I know, but it's good for me. I was like, this is, you know, a lighter topic. And in light of recent events, maybe that's kind of where we need to put our brains.
No, I do think it's weird though, because what I find is fascinating about trends is there are the people who just want the thing and they don't have like,
yeah,
a coherent thought behind why they want the thing. And I've actually been thinking about that a lot with Labubus because like I hang out in predominantly male spaces just because of like the work I do and everything like that. And I think the funny thing are how many guys, the moment that they see I have a Labubu, I think this has been at all the preview events that I've gone to and I've brought it at. And they've been like, why do you have that? And it's not like mean or ugly. It's just like, why? Like, what is it about this? Because I've seen like either my kid wants one, my wife wants one. I've just seen it.
And
all
it's a little, it's a little gremlin doll.
Yeah. And I'm like, it's so, and the funny thing is I'm always like, it's so ugly. That's why I love it.
Oh yeah. That's the other thing is it's one of those, like the hideousness is sort of the point. Like the one that I get less, I'm sure you've seen is it Fugler's?
I have no idea what that is.
Look it up. It's terrible. I think that's what they're called. Yeah, I hate these things. They're bad.
Oh, these are disgusting. Okay, these are the teeth things.
Yes,
no.
And that's like, that's a bad kind of ugly. But Labubu, like you said, it's like, it's ugly, and that's the point. It's like, it's just this tiny little monster, and I don't like it, and that's why I like it.
Yes.
And yeah, and like you said, like these have been around for like 10 years. They just only recently got popular. They took off, like,
yeah,
took off to the point of counterfeiting.
Yeah,
which, like,
well, and like also like major counterfeiting, like, mm-hmm. I think say whatever about like tariffs and stuff, because this is not what this is about, but one of the things is that they're stopping a lot more packages in places. Actually, I believe in Seattle they stopped like a ginormous, like, I think it was like 2,000 pounds of LaFoufous.
Wow.
Being shipped into the US.
Which means, yeah, there's money in it. Like,
yeah,
for
there
sure.
Is. Yes. I mean, hell, they're selling LaFoufous at like the Mexican grocery store next to my house and the gas station. And I have to like tell myself all the time, oh, that's only $15. I can get a fake one. What does it look like? Because some of them are horrendous, like the, yeah, bad kind of ugly. And some of them are like kind of passable. So like you'll have it. So like that's the funny thing. But I will say though, as we kind of like look at trends and we kind of talk about like who has stuff and like what, like who is buying them too.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the airport coming back from, I think it was LA, and I had a Labubu, and this lady in front of me, I had my Labubu on my backpack, just kind of chilling on top of my carry-on, or my roller bag. And I was waiting in line for like help at Delta. And the lady in front of me just had a Labubu head, which I did not know they made. And she was like, oh my God, I have one too. And like, she clicked it. And it's like this little plushy Labubu head that sings the Labubu song. And then
there's a song.
There's a song. And then while we're waiting in line, the Labubu song plays because she's clicked the Labubu head. And there's like this, and like, there's this other lady at like the counter already with her husband, turns around, and she has like one of the gray ones like on the front clip of her side bag, and she's like, hi. And it was one of those moments where I was like, holy crap. And we are all women. Like, I like, probably I am the youngest woman in this three woman equation. All of us, mm-hmm, have completely different ethnic backgrounds, at least visually looking at us. And all of us love this damn thing. And then the even, yeah, funnier thing is I had my Kuromi also. And Kuromi is a Sanrio character. Think of her as like alt goth Hello Kitty, yeah, essentially. And the lady in front of me pulls out a Kuromi mirror from her bag. And I think like one of the things to talk about with Labubus and Sanrio, and especially like more availability of items for everyday use,
mm-hmm,
I actually think it's because a lot of women, at least for me, did not have that cutesy stuff out all the time. We didn't use, yeah, it when we were younger. Like, that wasn't the trend when we were younger. Like, when we were younger, it was be disinterested in everything or just be punk. You can go back and listen to our punk, to our American Idiot episode. But like, the cutesiness was, mm-hmm, often really vilified, especially with the rise of Paris Hilton and everything like that, especially when you're in spaces that weren't predominantly female already.
Oh, yeah.
So if I put on my psychiatrist hat and we think about spending our adult money on childhood things, I do think like Labubu's rise, especially with a lot of women my age, and then things like Sanrio and everything like that, I do think it is a lot of us trying to get back to have that, like, I don't want to say soft girl era, because I'm still a bitch. I just have like a really cute Labubu on my bag. It's more so just like, I feel fine being cutesy. Like, I will, yeah, walk in with my stompy stomp combat boots and swing my Labubu on my bag. Like, there's,
and
just,
and recognizing that like aesthetic and personality are actually a little bit divorced, or they can be.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's,
yeah,
yeah, there, it's the whole assumption too of like how punk people look incredibly mean but are some of the nicest people you'll meet.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
And it's like, and yeah, then, for sure, like that's how it works. Some of the nicest, coolest people that I've met have been in the horror industry, and like these are, yeah, people who make movies about people getting murdered, but I'm like, oh, that guy was really nice.
Yes. No, I completely, like, I'm getting ready to go cover Fantastic Fest, which is an all genre festival primarily focused on horror, surrounded by horror journalists. And it is the most welcoming, kind, and like everybody feels like a friend event. And I don't say that lightly. Mm-hmm. Event that I've ever been to or that I ever go to. I've been going to it for 6 years now, and it doesn't get better than it. And these are all people who are like wearing all black, tattooed to hell, have half yep. their head shaven. Like, and I'm not saying that to like say stereotypes, but I am saying a lot of the stereotypes that we see as antisocial aesthetics are some of like the kindest and nicest people in general. And yeah. also sometimes they can have a labubu. Like one of my really good friends who actually was on the labubu thing, the first person I saw, like she buys clothes for, like I have a little Longhorn shirt for mine, but like she buys a bunch of clothes for them. She collects every single one of them. Like she spends a lot of money on them. She only wears the color black. Her house is decorated with mini coffins. Like she's super goth.
She likes her little. Here's the thing, between Labubu and I'll say the popularity of Pokemon, I think the lesson is people just want a freaky little guy to be their sidekick.
Yeah,
that's what we want.
People just
as humans.
Want a little guy.
That's the little guys are a basic human need on the pyramid.
Yes, no, I think you're correct.
Because I mean, even so, if we go back, like, because these are like little weird little gremlins. Apparently, I found out some people think they're demons or that they're tied to demons.
I found that. So I am happy that that's the case because in on Spanish language networks, there was this thing called Primer Impacto. And essentially, when Pokemon came out, they ran like this whole thing about how Pokemon cards were the devil and they were going to mm-hmm. bring your children to Satan. And so I'm happy that somebody has picked up that crusade for this generation.
Yes, that this is evil. And it's like, no, dude, it's a little keychain. It's not the devil.
It's the little guy.
And, you know, and like you said earlier, like the, you know, is this just Beanie Babies? And I think you're right. That it's not like they get more use in that, they get more utility. The culture's different
there
around it.
There aren't as many of them, actually.
Yeah, and that's a huge part that there's not a million
like
of them.
Like Funkos are Beanie Babies.
Yes. And that's what I wanted to unpack too is like, well, if you're going to say, isn't this just a Beanie Baby? Like, what's the allegation there? Because we all know that you mean that as a negative.
Yeah.
And like Beanie Babies, it was, I think, mindless consumption. It was mindless purchasing, like mindless consumerism, but with the bent of, I'm going to make my dollar off of this. My kids are going to go to college because I got the Purple Princess Diana bear. And in hindsight, we feel dumb. There's that the very famous divorce court picture where they have like a bucket of Beanie Babies spilled on the floor and they're sorting through them and deciding who gets what in the divorce. And like saying something is just Beanie Babies is a very specific accusation. And I don't think that Labubu fits that. Because also these aren't things that started out intended for children cheap and then adult collectors drove up the price. These were always intended for, you know, adults or aimed that way. And they were never cheap. I mean, or at least no, not as cheap as Beanie Babies.
They've always been like I think it's like $25 to $40 depending on like what you're getting and like what kind you're getting.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's like a weird thing that people go to. Cause like you said, Funko that's the modern Beanie Baby. And that honestly, that could be a part of this episode of like,
yeah,
what's the appeal of Funko? Like I'm not going to say I don't have any, I have three right now, but they're the Invisible Man, Bart Simpson, and the Raven from the Treehouse of Horror Simpsons episode. And those are very specific, distinct. My issue with Funkos is like, one, it is kind of mindless consumption. It's like the same character in six different color palettes and then an 8-bit version and then an all red version. And like, and like, that's bad to me. But also the number of them I've seen that I'm like, if you took this out of the box, I would never be able to tell you who it is. Yeah. Like that's my biggest thing where I'm like, that is a dude in a suit and it could be anything. Like it's not specific enough.
No, and I think that like that's one of the things too for me is so I actually think you bring up a good point. So Funko I think is now seen as something kind of stupid. I like them because of how dumb they look. I like dumb things. Like I like how dumb cute things look. Like that, like that's why I like them. Specifically for me. And I think that like that translates really well. I think like what I have Renji, Vegeta. Those two were given to me, like Bakugo, and then I have like Baditz Maru, and like two other like Sanrio, My Hero, like
Oh, that's
crossover
fun, yeah.
ones. Like those are really cute. But I never bought a lot of them. I kind of avoided them unless it was like a con exclusive or like it was like this ultra thing. But I think what you kind of got at when you talk about the idea of just saying, oh, well, it's just a Bimini baby. I actually do think that there's like this bigger thing happening with Labubus when you look at them like that, is that these are things that women are predominantly seen to do. And
we want to dismiss it.
Exactly. The same thing happened when K-pop started taking off because, oh, well, like that's, I think like what it is, everybody would say is like, oh, like that's just stuff for teenage girls. Yeah. One, it doesn't matter if it's for a teenage girl. There's nothing wrong with that. But the other thing that also comes into play with that is the idea that something that is inherently feminine is bad. And I think that that is something that I find really interesting. And I do think kind of like to my point of what I said earlier about like just seeing women kind of like reclaim that more. Like I do think a lot of it is just being like, yeah, no, I'm gonna like this thing. I'm gonna do this thing. And I really don't care what you have to say. And I think that there is this Funkos, I think, took longer for people to get angry at because dudes were doing it too. But I think that like looking at Funkos versus Labubus is like Funkos just recently, I'd say like the past couple of years, have been quote unquote bad or kind of like fallen out of favor or whatever. But like they've been popular.
I think part of the really popularity was that there was one for everyone. They had Funkos of everything.
Yeah, your kid could have it. You could have it. It didn't matter. Like it was targeting like all of pop culture. And I think like I actually think Labubus are really good and reflective because there's a moment where it becomes mainstream and everybody knows what it is. And then I think that's when you see people respond to it once it's in the public consciousness, then I think it's really interesting. I think K-pop Demon Hunters is also doing that for K-pop, like that K-pop aesthetic, K-pop songs. Like what people don't realize is K-pop Demon Hunters, a lot of those songs take core cadences from existing really popular K-pop songs. And there are parts of it that sound just like existing K-pop songs. And it's doing that because it's honoring the medium and like Korean pop music. But I think a lot of people don't realize that. And I think that there's a moment. There's two things that happen. Either something continues to be maligned or it catches on and then everybody starts going with it and it becomes okay. I think K-pop hit that. I think Labubus are starting to hit that, but I also think people are really annoyed with them.
I think people are annoyed with them because they don't see the appeal of like, it's just a thing and it's expensive. I think the price is probably something that makes people want to ridicule it of like, why would you pay so much for so little? Which again, Funko's like, look at how much some of those sell for on eBay. And like, then we can talk about it.
I sold one for like $250.
Yeah. If you just have the right one, it can be insanely lucrative. I looked, none of the ones that I have are really worth much more. I think I have a couple that are worth like 20 or 30. But to give you an idea of how broad those were, when I was collecting them, I was using them to mark genres on my movie shelf. So I had a little ghost face and then all of my horror movies. I had Jeff Goldblum from Independence Day and all my sci-fi movies. Like,
that's really cool.
But it's like that's how broad it was. And I was like, this is how I can justify collecting them. I would not collect them just to, you know, outside of like the three that I mentioned earlier, where two of them are from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
But it is this weird thing of like where I think the point where Labubu is at is it is catching on, but people are still trying to find a way to dismiss it, which is that it's silly, it's for girls, it's expensive, what, you know, and I mean the answer is sexism, because I'm like, well, how many silly expensive things for boys do we give a pass to?
Yes.
It's a lot.
The more wrestling stuff I have to see everywhere, I'm going to riot when I can't just have my little Labubu.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking even like going back to when I was in like middle school and paintball was getting really big and seeing how much money parents were throwing down on paintball guns so that their kids could go to a paintball course and throw away even more money every weekend. And it was like, well, this is good and this is worth investing in. And I'm like, you're literally throwing money out the window so your kid can run around in the woods with his friends. I think your daughter can have a keychain.
Yeah.
I, you know, like, But yeah, and I think also just to not fixate too much on just LaBooBoo is like you were saying, when things from your like childhood come back and now have a different meaning. And I think for me, and where this will be relatable, sock height is the thing from my childhood that has come back. Where and really this is just the dumb inversion where young people see short socks and are like, that's how old people dress, and I see tall socks and I'm like, that's how old people dress.
Yes.
Like it's a back and forth that will never end, but it is this weird thing of like fashion, you know, can go cyclical. It just things, I mean, seeing baggy jeans come back has been weird for me. The rise of crossbody bags, because we can get men to use purses if we call them something other than a purse. I think, and that goes back to the sexism thing of like, it like carrying a purse or a bag or a satchel or whatever has never been an impractical decision to be able to have more things on you than fit in your pockets.
No, it is a smart decision.
Yeah. But couldn't get dudes into it. Fanny packs tried. And then we were like, well, what if you wear the fanny pack different and don't call it a fanny pack? And
that's now all it's a, they now are. It's,
yeah.
That's it's ridiculous. All they're just fanny packs. They're just fanny packs. And you know what? Shout out to every man who wears a fanny pack the way that it's intended.
That's fair. Yeah. I don't wear mine that way.
You're
but
a
it's,
real one.
It's mostly because I have one that would be small enough to do that. And I have one that would be way too big to wear that way because it is closer to purse size and wearing it strapped around my waist. It would look like a WWE belt. Like it's too big. all this stuff is weird and you know, seeing it come back and.
Well, I was going to say too, like even outside of, what do you call it? The sock height thing, the thing that I found out because like a random fucking like I guess they were a kid, I don't know, not a kid, like I don't know, something like their 20s or something. I was at an event and I had I put my carabiner on my belt loop because I don't have fucking pockets, and at festivals I'm usually walking around with a backpack. And my phone has a key ring on it because it's a flip phone. So I can just put my keys, put my phone, and put like my AirPod case on it. And I don't have to keep moving my backpack back and forth. And I was waiting in line. It was South by Southwest. That's when this happened. I was waiting in line, waiting to get into one of like the after party things. And like this younger person who they were like a 20 something year old influencer was like, oh, you're gay. And I was like,
what?
And I was just kind of like, I was just confused.
That's like
what?
A...
And she pointed at my carabiner, and apparently, putting carabiners on your belt loops, which has been a thing that I did as a kid, that we all did as a kid, especially when you had the really baggy jeans. That's what you did. Instagram decided that that's how lesbians mark themselves.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was an exchange, and I was like, oh no. And she was like, oh, but you know, like this. And I was, and then she's like mentioned Instagram, and then I just looked back at her as like, I'm in my 30s.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, you don't look it. And I was like, yeah,
I mean, sure, thanks, but like, yeah, that man, that's a big jump. Because the number of people that I have known, especially like all through like high school, college, who just having your keys on a carabiner and clipping it on
it's
your
ease of access.
It, yeah, absolutely. The only time it wasn't is I went to college with a guy who I don't know where he found it, but he got a carabiner that was like almost the size of his face. And he used that for his keys because he thought it was funny.
That's amazing.
And all of us were just like, you know, you're an idiot. And he was like, I do know that I'm an idiot, but I found this and I'm going to use it.
No.
But yeah, I think that actually brings up a good question then of like, how do we create cool? Like what creates taste or trends? Like how do we, and I mean, the obvious answers are like people and marketing. But the way that those interact and sometimes collide is, I think, really interesting. Cause like LaBooBoo is a great example. There are things that get popular that like, there's just no predicting or accounting for it. It just happens. I don't know if you remember the Silly Bands craze.
No.
It's literally little rubber, silicon, whatever, like stretchy bracelet. And when you took it off, it was a shape.
Oh, that's interesting. And I remember just the rubber bracelets, like the thin rubber bracelets you'd get at Hot Topic.
You mean the ones that you use to mark what you've done sexually?
Yes.
According to
that, I also didn't
news?
Know. Yeah, which I didn't know, and then somebody said it on the news, and my mother made me throw them away, and I was like,
You're just like, Mom, Charlotte, you know that I have them. Yeah. Like, I like how they
have
look.
Have you seen me? Nothing is being done.
Right. Well, and that's also one where I remember that being a thing that was being alleged. And I'm like, I see kids at school with like 100 of those. And so like, if that's really what we're doing here and that kid's walking around with that many of them, like, shouldn't there be some kind of like an intervention with that child who's 14?
Yes.
But yeah, so like Silly Vans was another one where like, it was this dumb thing. It would be like, oh, it's a palm tree. But when you put it on, it just looks like a bracelet.
I remember those.
And then people would trade them and whatever. And it was like, that's kind of a dumb thing. And it got popular to an insane degree. I remember being, oh yeah, it's literally cardboard. It's circles of cardboard. And like the market, I think, wants so badly to be able to predict these things, but people are weird and just decide they want a thing or decide that a thing is fun. And we're all doing it. I'm reluctant to say it's like primitive brain, but kind of.
It is. No, like, it is. And I think the crazy thing now is like everything is, it's happening faster. It's like there are like just faster trend cycles, more and more, and a lot of that, like, yes, as is old demons on this, on every episode, it is capitalism, but the other
and the internet too,
and the internet, it is also Instagram's fault or TikTok's fault or whatever you look at, because it is people seeing something, getting the immediate gratification by clicking like the shop link or whatever because they see something really cool, and it's that like immediate response. I think it was a lot easier when we were younger to kind of live in these trends for a longer period of time and not have constant churn on them, because we didn't just have an Amazon link in the palm of our hand to click and buy. And now once it's very much the, like, I'm done with you thing from one trend to another. And that's something that like, I've actually noticed too, like when it comes to like, even like stuff that I buy or things that I like, I'll like get something and I'm like, oh, okay, well I'll wait and see, like, oh, that looks cute. I'll wait a couple months and then I'll finally get it. And then like, everybody's moved on from it. I'm like, oh, that used to happen to me because I was poor. Now it's just happening to me because I'm old.
It's happening because you have restraint and you're not immediately buying things.
Yes, it's happening to me because I have a mortgage and I have to pay that first.
Yes. And I mean, and that's a good point, because I think too, there's a component of like scrolling content and just being exposed to the thing that you bought or the trend also adds to how fast you're going to burn out on your interest in it.
Yeah.
Like, because if you think back to, you know, like, let's go back to like 90s playground days where it's like, okay, Pokemon cards are a thing. You only see so many Pokemon cards. You only have so many Pokemon cards. Yeah. You can only trade for so many of them. Now you can get them digitally on your phone. You can buy it complete sets online. Like, you, the speed with which you can acquire things is so different that you just, and the speed at which you can enjoy things, like, you know, the fun of looking at the cards for Pokemon, like, you don't even have to buy them anymore. You can just go online, pull up the card packs, scroll through everything. You're like, cool, I saw all of it. It was fun. I know the three that I want. I'm done here. And then you just get bored with it, or, you know, like going and scroll. I'm sure that there's a whole Labubu section of Instagram that I have yet to discover. That is just people posting content that they made centered on theirs.
The funny thing is, okay, and I think that this is where we also get into the weird thing with trends, is how much can you or want to interact with them, right? So like, I love my little Labubu. I take pictures of it, and then I'll do like a picture of it like on the airplane for where I'm going, and then I'll put like pictures of me like after it or whatever. Yeah. I think it's cute. But personally, I'm not gonna watch video after video, reel after reel of somebody like making something with their Labubu. And I think that that's interesting, because I think there are some trends where it is very focused on like seeing that thing throughout like the span of a day. I think a lot of that, like when Instagram people do like the outfit of the day stuff or anything like that. But if it's not something that you can consistently interact with, like, it really does turn into like, I feel like some trends last longer because you want to interact with them, you keep interacting with them, and some trends fade faster because it's kind of like one and done. Okay, cool. Like, we got the thing.
We got it. We're walking away. I was watching a Twitch streamer who they were talking about, how did they phrase it? They said, when I like something, I actually try to avoid it more because I don't want to burn out on it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I completely agree. It's the same reason that like I didn't talk about Lord of the Rings for so long, because I didn't want to talk to people about it.
It's also, there are certain video games that I have to pace correctly, because if I if I go too hard on it too fast, I will get burned out before I'm near the end. And then I don't enjoy the rest of the game because I'm just trying to slam through the story and finish it. And so I think there is like, there's a psychological component to how you engage with trends that I hadn't thought of before you brought it up. But yeah, it's that thing of like, you have to be careful with how you approach it, or you will just end up having spent $60 on a keychain, or, you know, which actually, so one of the shops that I saw here, interestingly, they have all the blind boxes, and then I think it's like $5 or $10 more, they have ones that they verified what's in the box so that people can just pay for the one they want and not have to deal with it. And I'm like, you know, I can't even blame them for charging an extra $10 for that, because people will pay it.
So this is going to be really stupid. Actually, I don't think it will be too stupid. So when we went to the Offspring concert, I was barred from bringing my Labubu because my husband, Matt, who's also on the show, obviously.
Oh, I thought you meant by the venue.
Oh,
and I was
no.
Like, that's bonkers.
Oh yeah, no, my husband barred me from doing it. But specifically because he was like, either it's going to get dirty, it's going to get lost, somebody's going to steal it. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. Like, leave it at home. And so now I'm like, I want two Labubus. I want like a Labubu that is like am I going to cry if I lost it? And then like, am I not? And I would like a home Labubu and a Labubu that like can maybe be a sacrifice if needed, which is like insane way to think about things. But also,
no,
like,
I get it.
Crazy. Like, they will steal these things, which is like kind of insane in like its own right. But all this is to say, like, if I got another one, I'm not going to blind box it. I'm going to go into Mercari. And I'm going to pick one that has been opened and they've shown me the little card that's in it, so I know exactly what it is.
And yeah, you want to, because you, I mean, this also goes back to like, I guess we can talk about like the capitalism of it, of like, you want the one that you want. Like, it's not, I want any. You will look at the box, see the sample, like the little pictures of all the options, and you're like, I know which one of these I want. Like, I know if I open it and I see that, I'm going to be disappointed.
And I'm too broke and have too little time to buy all of them.
I say, and that's the thing is, you're like, well, I can spend, let's say, $30 on it, or I can spend $40 and know. And it's like, yeah, you might get it on that $30 one, but if you don't, now you're going to be spending $60, $70, $90 on more boxes or on a confirmed box to get what you want. And I do have like a love-hate relationship with blind boxes, because I think they're fun, but I also get how they're predatory and like just trying to get people's money. I mean, and that's, you know, that's a modern day evil, so to speak. Like, I think the other thing in here is like fast fashion plays into this.
I was gonna say they're just real world loot boxes.
Exactly. And then, yeah, we have like, you know, fashion trends that are moving. They're moving faster than clothes are meant to last. And so you have like stuff that is intentionally not great made. That's like a whole environmental and human rights issue. But like, that's, you know, but you got to get it because you saw it on Instagram. And it's I think that's where the trends conversation frustrates me is. I like trends. I like when my friends and I all decide that we're into the same thing. And like, I get it. There's a community, a camaraderie, like, and it's just fun. But the speed at which trends now move, I feel like has made it harder for me to want to get on board with them. Not because it's like, oh, I don't want to like something lame. I'm a man in his mid-30s who reads Ninja Turtles comics. I'm not concerned with looking cool. But like, what I am concerned with is buying into a system that is ultimately destroying the planet, which, and I think Labubu is less that. I feel like Funko is more that, because they put many millions of dollars of products in a landfill to maintain rarity.
Yeah, I was like, Funko is like explicitly filling landfills.
Yeah, so like, there's for sure issues here. And I guess I want to acknowledge that, because like, I think we've been fairly positive on these things. And I'm there's for sure a problem. I think it's just like, it's fun to like think about and explore how and why we buy into these things and why. Because even in this conversation, I'm like, I don't know, do I want to go get one just to get it, just to have something to enjoy and like, you know, to connect with other people on? Like, it's not necessarily something I'm going to bring out of the house, but it's you know, it's a thing. It's fun to have.
Yeah. I think like the other thing too is like, I think that men have trends, but I think that there are so many more geared towards women because of the way I think that like the way that society has been propped up in general, it really does push us to like feel the need to find everything, right? Because like I think a lot of guys can like easily just like, I don't want to be cool, like it doesn't matter. I think it's harder because of how women consistently have pushed each other in different social circles, and a lot of being a woman is, what do you have, what bag do you have, what shoes do you have, what designer are you wearing, down to like people will rather talk about like, who are you wearing, over like somebody's Oscar bid. And like that's one thing, but I also think that like the type of self-consciousness that comes from things like Instagram, we think a lot of it when it comes to like physical beauty and physical looks, but there is like this larger issue when you stop and you think about like the class issues that arise from that, like what the way that you're supposed to put your value in how your kitchen looks, your value in what you have on you. I think makeup is another really good example in terms of like kind of along the fast fashion stuff, where makeup lasts fairly long. You don't need 20 different eyeshadow palettes because you're barely gonna finish that one, because there's probably four colors on it that you like. Yep. And because there are like brand new products coming out constantly being shoved in everybody's faces from all of these influencers, and I'm guilty of it too, of like seeing something and I'm like, oh shit, I want to try that. You don't need all that. You don't need all of that stuff. And I think that women fall prey to the predatory nature of it, not because we're stupid, but because so much of how people see us is designed by what we have.
Yeah. Well, and there's also something to, I'm realizing as you're saying this, like culturally, I'm not saying I agree with this, culturally, accessories are feminine.
Yes.
Add-ons are feminine. Like if you go and look at men's accessories, even like necktie, wallet, watch, belt,
cufflinks, maybe.
Yeah, maybe cufflinks. Maybe a pocket square if you're fancy. Yeah, like five or six things, and then you go and look at women's accessories, and you're like, there are things here I've never even considered for as a man.
I think the only thing men have is shoes.
Yeah,
sneaker culture. Like,
and even that,
stuff.
You can get away with just wearing Converse. Yeah. Like,
yeah, because you would just not be a sneakerhead, or like even like athletic, because like Matt is really proud of how colorful his shoes are and stuff, but that's because he's a runner. But if you're just some fucking like, okay, the men at every single preview event, the like 4 out of 5 men will be wearing blue jeans, black Vans, either slip on or the ones with the little white stripe on them. A plain basic tee or a graphic tee with some sort of flannel or blue jean button-up shirt on top of it open. That's what men wear. That's all they have to wear. And it's very consistent. And like those are still like signs, like if you're emo, you get this. If you're this, you do this. But there are so many other boxes that women have to check. And like if you're listening to this and you go to events where it is mixed gendered and you notice that men are the primary gender there, look around and see how the men have dressed, and then look at the women in the room and see how they have dressed, and see if there's anything that you notice in terms of trends. Because like I have actually started, I think this year, trying to be even more hyper feminine when I go to these events, because I'm like, I'm going to stick out anyway. I'm done with the tomboy thing. But it's crazy because like a lot of the times, like, it's just realizing how much more effort we have to put into performing our gender.
Oh yeah.
And it does go down to like the fact that we have more accessories, right?
Yeah. I mean, every time there's like a big red carpet, like the Met Gala or whatever, genuinely what I'm interested to see is what men are willing to push the edge, like push the envelope and do something different, because so much of men's formal wear is just suits. And it's like, okay, are you wearing an interesting suit? Are you wearing something that's not a suit? When I got married, I like put conscious effort into, I refuse to just wear like a tux or a black suit. Like I absolutely refuse to dress that basic. And I still ultimately ended up in a suit. I just went for like an unconventional color, a patterned shirt, like, you know, whatever I could do to kind of break away from what is typical. But yeah, like watch a red carpet event, it's like, oh, we don't really care how like dudes just wear a black tuxedo and call it good, and everyone's like, oh, you look nice. No one asks who made that tuxedo. It could be Oscar de la Renta, we don't know. Like But yeah, it's just a weird thing. And I think that it goes back. I mean, I think we started this as like, let's talk about cool. And really, this is a conversation on how we try to delegitimize the interests of women and also leverage it against them to take their money for capitalism.
Yes.
Like that's the Scooby-Doo mystery we stumbled upon this time. But I stand by it. I think it's accurate. Like when I personally, like I get frustrated when I have to go shopping for clothes because I see what is available for men. And it's what you listed. It is jeans and t-shirts. Like, and if I want to dress more interesting, I have to put in a lot more effort.
Yeah. Like shopping with Matt, like it's funny. Like when we go and do gaming things together, I'm always going to be able to find him because he's not wearing black. He's wearing like some sort of teal or green shirt. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to find those colors. Like, and he was actually telling me this, which I think when you look at the stuff for men is like, you can kind of track like the comfort level with people with the colors that are on things. So like when you had like people being way more open and way more progressive, you got men with a lot of different colored options, different colored sock packs, right? The just down to socks. It wasn't just white, black, red, or blue. It was like neon green, yellow, like all these things. And now if you get a colored pack of anything, it is white, black, maybe a gray, forest green, if there's a green. But mostly red and blue. And that's like the base of it. And I think that there's not a lot of leeway for men who do want to explore their fashion or do more things. And then you end up in situations. And I think right now, like, because we've kind of regressed towards the way where like everything has to be a statement of something larger, that I do think a lot of men who are just like, I just like this way of expressing myself, they're questioned for a lot of things, or assumptions are made about them for a lot of things. And so I do think in that way, like men have a difficult way. Your pocketbooks aren't being come for as much as ours are, but you also don't get to do like the fun things.
Yeah. The fun thing that I get to do is that I get to wear nail polish, which means I also get to have a lot of conversations about nail polish with strangers because they're curious about why I have nail polish. Or the funny thing that I've had, and I think we've talked about this, is one, I get complimented on my nails more than my wife gets complimented on hers. And I guarantee it is like a self-congratulatory.
They have to show that they're an ally.
Right. I'm like, it has to be this like, ooh, I got to compliment the man on this to show that I'm progressive. But the interesting thing is the only men who comment on it are other men who paint their nails. I have never had a dude who doesn't paint his nails say anything about my nails. Well, anything positive, I'll say. But like the other day I went to get coffee and the barista was like, oh, I like your nails. And then started talking to me about like what he wants to do with his next time he paints them. And I was like, okay, now this tracks. Like it was weird until you said, I'm going to go get mine done. And then I understood.
Well, like, it's funny, too, because, like, I would say, like, the friends that I hang out with in real, like, all the time, like, either it's my husband's male friends or, like, my friend, like, our, like, couple groups of friends that we see all the time in real life. Nobody gave a shit about my labubu. Nobody asked me about my labubu because they're like, oh, yeah, that's a Kate thing.
Yep.
And, like, but it not, like, in a bad way. And I think that that's something that I think a lot of these trends are kind of pointing out. And I do think that the gender divisions are getting more is because I do have to go into a lot of male spaces and male spaces with dudes who just don't know me like that. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of questions, right? Like it is. And I know that I prefer somebody to just not say anything about my labubu or not say anything about the fact that I'm wearing wearing makeup, like, which is also weird, like dudes complimenting on makeup, like not ill-intentioned, but also
why?
Yeah. And even if it's like women, because like when women compliment you on your makeup, they're like, oh my God, like your winged eyeliner looks really good, or like something very specific, like what's that lipstick shade, what, like, because they're like they know that it is a hard thing to do. But if I come down to, like, because usually everybody's staying in the same hotel for these events, if I come down the elevator and I walk out and I'm immediately met with, oh my God, Kate, you're wearing makeup, that feels weird. It feels weird. And it comes through with other trends. Like, I think every single event since I've had my labubu and I brought it, people have been like, why do you have that? Why would you buy one? And I'm like,
because I wanted to, because it's fun. Because
it's cute. Because it's fucking cute. And you know what? I take menacing pictures with it when I have it out of focus and other stuff in focus. And it's great. It's a great gimmick. But I will say, as we wrap up, I do think that some companies are taking into account trends, audiences, and doing them better. And the example I'll give are the Razer Kitty headphones. So the Razer Kitties were the first line of Pink, but also of Kitty headphones with the kitty ears on top of them. They have since used that Kitty brand to make like Gengar headphones, the Chromi, Hello Kitty, all of which I have. They're really good headphones. But what they haven't done is they haven't actually, or they hadn't brought all of the base specs for a lot of the, and these are non-gendered too. You can get them in white, black, pink, but you know, we all ascribe a gender to it. A lot of their other just standard black headphones, they were able to fold in the side so that they were compact and easy to travel. They were, they had a Bluetooth capability with everything where you could easily toggle it between a computer and then using it on your phone. Long battery life, not being a cord at all. And what they recently did is they launched the Kraken Kitty V3s, which I have been able to use as a product, and I will be reviewing it for butwhytho.net. And I traveled with them when I went to Seattle this year. They're fucking great because it was somebody, it was a company who was like, yo, you know those Kraken Kitties you released like 10, 15 years ago? People are still buying them. Women still want them. They want those pastel pink kitty ears. And you know what? We're going to make something they can wear around an airport. And did I get a lot of funny looks? Yes, I did. Were they the best damn thing and made me remember that over-ear the headphones felt really good and not having little beans in my ears? Yes, they did. So I think that they're, if people are smart, they're able to pick apart what's a trend and what's a want, like what's an actual want that somebody like will keep buying and keep investing in. And I think Razer's kind of hit, for me at least, especially when it comes to buying like I would say traditionally feminine periphery equipment, right? Like they have a whole Hello Kitty line, they have a whole Kraken line, they have all of these things that are saying, yo, like women buy gaming peripherals too. And I think that like we're gonna see more of trends matching because I do think more people are realizing that just it's a stereotype, but women spend more things on things.
Yeah.
My husband doesn't know the last thing he bought for himself. Like
I've told a few people that I know about that, of how like it's a mystery to both of you that neither of you know what it is. Because it is just so fascinating, whereas you're like, oh yeah, I know, I bought this, I bought that, I want to get this, and Matt's like, I don't know, I bought a t-shirt 4 years ago, maybe. And yeah, and I think, you know, that you can try to argue like personal values or whatever, but it also, like we talked about, like it's who's getting marketed to, who's, you know, who are they trying to get the money from. And I think for male specific things, it's a narrower shelf in the store. And I mean, literally, like if you go and look at like most department stores, like the children's section and the women's section are about the same size. And then the men's section is smaller than either of them. And it's like, oh, yeah, we just don't care is what kind of what this communicates. But yeah, I think that kind of does it for me. I feel like that was a very good exploration of all things cool and gender. And but do you have any closing thoughts or anything?
Buy yourself a little treat. Don't let people make you feel bad about the little treat, but also don't destroy the environment when you do it. You do only need one Labubu.
That's true. Yeah, get one. If it gets lost or stolen, get another one. Or get a home one and a street one. But yeah, that does it for this week. If you want more, we do have it. ButWhytho is on Blue Sky at ButWhytho.net. Subscribe to our newsletter or donate by going to ButWhytho.net/support. Everything that you give goes towards keeping the site going and making the content that you enjoy, paying our writers. And subscribing to the newsletter is free and it still helps. So that would be greatly appreciated. Kate, thank you for joining me this week. It was a lot of fun. And thank you at home for listening. We'll see you next time.